Ever feel like your college transcript with all its letter grades was kind of like a blurry snapshot of your education? Like, you see the grades, but do they really tell the story of what you learned and what you can do? Today, we're diving into the world of student learning outcomes, or SLOs, to explore how they're shaking up the traditional ways we think about assessment in higher education.
It's about shifting the focus from those kind of abstract ideas of learning to more concrete, observable skills and competencies. Think of it like this. Instead of just saying someone is a good swimmer, we actually see them swim a lap, dive, and maybe even perform a rescue. That's the essence of SLO,
Got it.
showing what you can do.
So it's not just about memorizing facts and figures, but actually demonstrating that you can apply that knowledge in real-world situations. Our sources point out some major issues with traditional grading, saying it often misses the mark when it comes to measuring what students truly learn.
And one of the biggest criticisms is that subjectivity that's baked into traditional grading. Think back to your own experience. Did you ever get a different grade from a classmate for what seemed like the same level of work?
Oh, absolutely.
Or maybe felt like a grade was influenced by things like participation or even how much a professor liked you?
Oh, yeah. I had this one professor who was notorious for grading on a curve. It felt like you were competing against your classmates rather than focusing on your own learning.
And that competitive atmosphere, often fueled by grades,
Yeah.
can actually hinder deeper learning.
Really?
Students might be so focused on outperforming each other that they lose sight of the real goal, mastering the material and developing essential
So it
skills.
becomes like a game
It does.
of how to get the A rather than how can I truly understand and apply this? And it's not just about fairness or the learning environment. Our sources also point out how traditional grading can incentivize the wrong things, pushing students towards compliance rather than true mastery.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Remember cramming for tests just to forget everything a week later.
It's like training for a specific test instead of learning how to swim.
Interesting.
You might ace the test, but can you actually swim in the ocean, a pool, a lake?
Wow, yeah.
Can you adapt your skills to different situations?
Yeah.
That's where traditional grades often fall short.
It sounds like what we're really talking about is a shift in the entire purpose of education, moving away from just checking boxes and accumulating grades to ensuring students graduate with the tangible skills and competencies they need to succeed in their chosen fields and make meaningful contributions to society.
If we think about the ultimate goal of higher education, it's not just about individual achievement, but also about preparing individuals to be active, engaged, and productive members of society. And that requires a different approach to assessment, one that focuses on demonstrable skills and real-world application.
So instead of just seeing a B on your transcript for History 101, an SLO-based assessment might say, this student can effectively analyze historical documents and construct a well-supported argument.
Precisely, it's about making learning visible, providing clear evidence of what a student knows and can do. And that's incredibly valuable information for both the student and potential employers.
For sure.
Imagine a hiring manager being able to see concrete examples of your skills rather than just relying on a GPA.
That would be a game changer.
It would.
So how do SLOs address these limitations of traditional grading? What makes them so different?
Well, for one, SLOs encourage what's called learning for mastery. When you're assessed on your ability to actually do something, to demonstrate a skill or competency, it changes your entire approach to learning.
So instead of memorizing facts for a test, you're really digging into the material, trying to understand the concepts deeply, and figuring out how to apply them in different contexts. It's about becoming proficient in a skill, not just checking it off a list.
And this focus on mastery has a ripple effect. It fosters deeper learning, encourages persistence, and helps students develop a growth mindset, that belief that they can continue to learn and improve over time.
And it's not just about individual learning either. Our sources highlight how SLOs can transform the classroom dynamic, shifting it from a competitive environment to one that's more collaborative.
Absolutely. When the focus is on everyone achieving specific learning outcomes, students are more likely to help each other succeed.
Okay.
Think about it.
Yeah.
If the goal is for everyone in the class to be able to write a compelling argumentative essay,
right,
wouldn't you be more likely to share your knowledge and help your classmates?
That makes so much sense.
It does.
It creates a sense of shared purpose and encourages teamwork.
For sure.
Which, let's be honest, are essential skills in the real world.
Absolutely.
No one's working in isolation out there.
Exactly. And this collaborative learning environment fostered by SLOs not only promotes deeper understanding, but also prepares students for the collaborative nature of most workplaces.
It started to feel like SLOs could be the answer to a lot of the issues we've been discussing with traditional grading.
Yeah.
But what about feedback?
Mm.
How does that change under an SLO framework?
That's a great question, and it's where SLOs really shine.
Okay.
Instead of relying on that vague feedback of a letter grade,
right,
SLO assessment utilizes detailed, specific, and actionable feedback.
Okay.
It's about giving students a roadmap for improvement, not just a final score.
So instead of seeing a C plus on a paper and feeling disheartened,
right,
a student might receive comments like,
yeah,
your thesis statement is strong, but you need to provide more convincing evidence. Try incorporating stronger sources and addressing counterarguments.
Exactly. It's about pinpointing areas of strength and weakness.
Right.
And providing specific guidance on how to improve.
That's a world of difference from the needs improvement comments I used to get.
It is.
This kind of feedback feels much more empowering and helpful.
It does.
Especially for students who might be struggling.
Absolutely. And that's what makes SLOs so powerful. They shift the focus from performance to progress, from competition to collaboration, and from vague grades to tangible, demonstrable skills that can be applied in the real world.
This has been incredibly insightful.
It has.
It's clear that SLOs offer a very different approach to assessment.
Yeah.
One that seems much more aligned with the evolving needs of both students and society.
For sure.
But I'm curious,
yeah,
what are some of the challenges of actually implementing SLOs in higher education? Stay tuned as we dive deeper into that next part of our deep dive.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head when you asked about challenges. Because implementing SLOs, it isn't always a smooth ride.
Really?
It requires a pretty significant shift in mindset for both educators and institutions.
So it's not just about swapping out letter grades for these more detailed assessments.
Right.
There's more to it than that.
There is. It's a systemic change.
Wow.
Think about it. We've been so ingrained in the traditional grading system for so long that it can be tough to break free from those familiar structures and embrace something new.
It's like trying to learn a new language.
Yeah.
To rewire your brain.
You do.
To think in a different way.
That's a great analogy. And one of the biggest hurdles is actually defining those SLOs.
Right.
In a way that's clear, measurable, and meaningful.
Okay.
It's not enough to just say,
right,
students will be able to think critically. We need to break down what that actually looks like in practice.
Mm.
What are the observable behaviors that demonstrate critical thinking?
Okay.
How will we assess those behaviors in a way that's fair and reliable?
So it's about translating those kind of broad learning goals into more concrete, actionable steps and assessments.
Right.
It sounds like a pretty complex process.
It can be.
Yeah.
But it's a very worthwhile endeavor.
Okay.
And there are resources and frameworks available to help institutions navigate this transition.
Oh, that's good.
One example is Bloom's Taxonomy.
I've heard of that.
Which provides a hierarchy of learning objectives.
Okay.
From just basic knowledge recall.
Right.
To those higher order thinking skills like analysis, synthesis, and evaluation.
That reminds me of those verbs we used to use when writing learning objectives in school.
Yeah.
Things like identify, explain, analyze, create, and so
forth.
It's about moving beyond just remembering information.
Right.
To actually using it in meaningful ways.
Exactly. And Bloom's Taxonomy can be a helpful tool for defining SLOs in a way that reflects those different levels of learning.
Yeah.
But even with those clear definitions, there are still challenges when it comes to assessment.
Really?
Traditional tests and quizzes might not be the best way to measure some of these more complex skills and competencies.
Right. How do you test someone's ability to collaborate effectively
Yeah.
or solve a problem creatively?
Right.
A multiple choice exam doesn't quite cut it, does it?
It does. That's where things like performance-based assessments,
okay.
portfolios, simulations,
yeah.
and even peer evaluations
wow.
can come into play.
So it's about finding assessment methods that align
exactly.
with the specific skills and competencies being measured.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
It is. It opens up a whole new world of possibilities for how we assess learning.
Sure.
But I imagine this also requires more from educators.
It does.
In terms of time and effort.
Yeah.
Grading a stack of multiple choice exams
yeah.
is one thing.
Right.
But providing detailed feedback on these complex projects or simulations
yeah.
is a whole different ballgame.
You're absolutely right. It does require a greater investment from educators.
Okay.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
That investment pays off in the long run.
Okay.
When students receive detailed, specific feedback,
uh-huh.
they're more likely to understand their strengths and weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Make meaningful improvements, and ultimately achieve mastery.
Yeah.
And that translates into deeper learning and greater success in their chosen fields.
It's about quality over quantity.
It is.
When it comes to feedback.
Yes.
A few well-crafted comments
right.
can be much more impactful
Yickly.
Than a whole page of generic remarks.
Precisely. And this shift towards more personalized feedback loops
mm-hmm.
is another key benefit of SLO assessment. But let's not forget about the institutional side of things.
Right.
Implementing SLOs effectively requires buy-in and support
okay.
from the entire institution,
yeah.
not just individual instructors.
So it's not just about changing what happens in the classroom, but also about shifting the culture
yeah.
and the systems
mm-hmm.
within the institution itself.
Exactly. It requires a commitment to professional development for faculty,
okay.
resources for developing and assessing SLOs,
yeah.
and even changes to how academic programs are structured and evaluated.
Wow.
It's a holistic approach
okay.
that involves the entire educational ecosystem.
It sounds like a significant undertaking.
It is.
But one that could have a profound impact
I could.
On the future of higher education.
Yeah.
If we're truly committed to preparing students for success in a rapidly changing world,
uh-huh.
we need to move beyond those limitations of traditional grading.
It requires a shift from those traditional testing methods
right.
to more holistic approaches
mm-hmm.
like portfolios,
mm-hmm.
performance assessments,
yeah.
or even peer evaluations.
So it's not just about finding the right assessment methods,
right.
but also about ensuring that those methods are applied fairly and consistently
yeah.
across different institutions and programs.
Absolutely. Standardization is key.
Mm.
If an SLO claims to measure effective communication,
okay.
we need to ensure that it means the same thing at one university as it does at another.
Right.
This is where collaboration
mm-hmm.
and those shared best practices
yeah.
become crucial.
Okay.
Institutions need to work together
right.
to develop clear rubrics, training for assessors,
mm-hmm.
and systems for ensuring consistency.
That makes sense.
It does.
It's about creating a shared understanding
yeah.
of what these skills look like in practice.
Mm.
So that students are being assessed fairly,
mm-hmm.
and employers know what to expect from graduates.
Exactly.
It's about shifting the focus from grades to demonstrable skills.
Right.
From competition to collaboration,
mm-hmm.
and from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset.
Exactly.
It's about empowering students to take ownership of their learning.
Yeah.
And to see themselves as those capable, lifelong learners.
Exactly. Challenge assumptions
mm-hmm.
and advocate for a more learner-centered approach to education.
This has been a fantastic conversation.
It has.
I feel like I've gained a whole new perspective on the purpose of education
yeah.
and how we can make it more relevant and impactful.
Me too. It's been a pleasure diving deep with you.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this exploration of student learning outcomes.
Yes, thank you.